Okay, so remember, last time we talked about, so there are two different types of strain theories, type 2A and type 2B. And here we found out that deep brain charges were classified by basically K of X, or then this thing with contact. You remember this from last time? And that the Ramon-Ramon fields, which were usually differential forms, now got, so usually they took values. So in type 2B we had Ramon-Ramon fields, the field strength which was like T1, T3, T5, and so on. So all the odd field strengths that were usually took values in the cohomology, the odd cohomology of the manifold. But that was now replaced by K1 of X. So, and in type 2A it was the opposite. It was K1 of X for the charges and for the Ramon-Ramon fields it was K of X. So basically, in type 2A, a Ramon-Ramon field was topologically classified by K of X, where X is a manifold where the string theory is living. So what we, and also in the prior language, Ramon-Ramon fields in type 2A were just these even differential forms. So in the even cohomology. And they got augmented to this object instead. So what we want to, so what I'll first talk about now today is the relation between them. So if we are given Ramon-Ramon fields that are topologically classified by this, then how do we map them to this? Or how do we reconcile the two languages? The statement is not that we are just saying the same thing, but at least how someone who knew this language would. I mean, they have to agree more or less.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference actually, especially in torsion parts. When you get to torsion, which is not so much understood either from this point of view. But especially in the case where we can represent the Ramon-Ramon fields by usual closed differential forms, there should be there should be agreement between the two. So first I'll talk about how we go from K of X to those. So there, for instance, in type 2A, one object we can look at in type 2A is, suppose we have the following situation. We have space here, and then we have an 8 brain, or we have 8 brains, or, and we can also have 8 bar brains if you want, the anti-brains. I mean, they could also be on top of each other, or there could be many of them, and so on. And on each of these, so, and suppose on these ones, now I just separate them pictorially, but in space they could be on top of each other, it doesn't matter. And there could, of course, be many of them separated. So. But let's say it looks like this. So there is a bundle E on these brains, and a bundle F on these. So then, what's important was, remember that I told you that in the action for the Ramon-Ramon fields, there was something like an integral of the Ramon-Ramon fields squared, integrated over the whole space. And then there is a coupling. Last time I described a coupling from the brains to the field. So in this case, it would be integrating over the world volume of, let's say, these 8 brains. And then, since an 8 brain has a world volume which is 9-dimensional, remember that we don't count time here. An 8 brain is really 9-dimensional. So this is a 9-form potential in type 2A. The one which... So the one where locally G10 is D of C9. So this was the coupling I explained last time, okay? And suppose, so there's a plus here, and if we write down the 8 bar brains, then we get the similar coupling with a minus sign. And these are differential forms, so of course, you pull it back to the world volume and integrate. That's what this formula means. Okay. Now there is an maybe I should describe first that. So usually we put some integrality properties on these differential forms. Maybe I should explain how that comes about. So that's called Dirac quantization, and that's basically because so here I take a 9 form and pull it back to the world volume and integrate it. But really, this one is not globally defined. Remember that these were not. It's only locally that we have formula like this. This is a little bit like a field strength and a connection here. So it has to match that. If we make a gauge transformation, that if we make a gauge transformation and use, or in other words, go to another local chart and use another C9, this number should be invariant basically. It shouldn't matter on which C9 we use. So it's the generalization of the usual Dirac quantization for point particles. Suppose, for instance, we have a sphere, and we have an electric charge moving there. Then the equivalent, and then suppose there is an electromagnetic field living on the sphere. So that's an A mu. Then the coupling. So the particle will follow some trajectory, and then the coupling of the gauge field to the particle will be just pulled back in this one form. It's a one form. Pulled back in it to the world line W of the particle. That's how an electric charge interacts with an electromagnetic field from standard electromagnetism, no string theory and so. And there we know that. Suppose, for instance, that so really A is just, it's not a one form that's well defined on the sphere. It's just a connection. So, for instance, we could say, okay, but suppose we, for instance, use two coordinate charges as we've done before, like one, let's say A1 up here and A2 down here, and then glue them together along equator. Then it would have to be that suppose, for instance, the particle, the world line volume. The world line is along equator, then we could either say that the action is this, but we could also have used the other one. And I mean, there is none of them is better than the other. So it has to be that, so naively it would have to be that they should agree that the difference between the two of A2 minus A1, naively it should be equal to zero. But actually, the way such an action appears in physics is in a path integral. Suppose we integrate over the gauge field, then it would be something like e to the is. So really, it's enough if this is n times 2 pi. And you see, if you then use Stokes' law, this is exactly just going to become the integral of the field strength on the lower hemisphere. Let's call it this d2 and d1, the upper and the lower. Then this is just the integral of the field strength plus, I mean, with the right orientation, d1f. So it just becomes that the integral of f over the whole S2 should be n times 2 pi. So just the physical consideration that the action of the particle should be well defined, at least in e to the is, exactly gives what physicists call Dirac quantization. I guess mathematicians would just call it right that this is a connection in a bundle, and usual. This is just the first term character of the bundle. It is an integer. So we have exactly the same. We'll have an exactly equivalent story over here, that we could use different C9s in different coordinate charts, but how we calculate it should only differ by an integer times 2 pi. Okay, and that's exactly, so the fact that the first term character, integral f over 2 pi, is an integer, there will be similar requirements for all of these. At least naively, you could use a similar argument. For instance, to prove that g10 integral, so it would be something like integral g10 over a 10 manifold, so that would be the whole manifold, over 2 pi, should be an integer. The argument for that would be that that this action for an 8 brain should be well defined, right? So actually, one could make a similar argument for each of the Ramon-Ramon field strings, that they should take values in integral cohomology, not just here, but actually integral cohomology. And the argument for each of them would be that the action of the corresponding brain should be well defined. Do you understand what I'm saying? So at least in some sense, naively, these are actually integral cohomology classes.
Okay, but that was the...
Okay, but let's get back to this. Now just... So here we have the action for these forms. So here, actually, in what I'm writing here is G10. Or G0. Then, remember there was also this thing that G10 is the dual of G0. So in some sense, there are only... Out of these, they are not all independent. They are coupled to each other. And that's also a confusing story, exactly. I mean, this is some equation of motion. It's a confusing story about exactly how they are dual to each other, because for instance, just now I've said things that are contradictory, because it would be impossible, for instance, to require both that... I mean, if G10 was an integral cohomology class, the dual of it would not necessarily also be an integral cohomology class, because the metric would come into that formula. So it's really not that simple. To really say one would have to go to a full quantum theory, what one can really do is to... In terms of the right statement is that you cannot classically... It's like in physics, you know, for instance, like position and momentum of a particle. In classical physics, they are just variables that takes a value, right? You can say the particle is here and has a momentum. But in quantum physics, you cannot specify both of them at the same time. So there are similar statements here that some of these things are really just classical statements that doesn't hold. So you cannot impose this equation. So like that. But okay, but let's just go on. So now we have this action here. This was in the case where actually without gauge fields on the brains. There is...
Sorry, are you saying that G0 is conjugated to G10 in the brain?
Yeah. I mean, really, you should... Yeah, I'm saying, for instance, that if you ask what fields are around here in type 2A string theory, you should only use one of them, that they are not independent. Suppose you classically want to describe the situation. I mean, let's do no quantum theory. Just classically, you want to describe the fields. Then you should just erase one of them. Let's say erase this one, and just work with this one. Right? You should not. They are not both present. They are connected to each other. Actually, in type 2B, in type 2A, what one usually does in type 2A would just be to keep this, and this, and then say that the 6, 8, and 10 form are functions of these, so just drop them and forget about them. In type 2B, and one can also do that in a Lorentz invariant way, in a rotational invariant way, right? In type 2B, it's actually more difficult because you see, there is no equivalent thing to do here. Definitely, we could eliminate G7 and G9 in terms of G1 and G3. But G5, also, so because of this, G5 actually obeys, it's not just G5, it's a self-dual G5, which is a source of a lot of, like, problems. Because here you cannot, there is no Lorentzian, or there is, but there is no natural way. You would have to single out, I mean, you would have to do something a little unnatural to like eliminate half of the components in terms of the other half. Also, if one incorporates other things like what's called pseudo-ellipses and so in string theory, which I guess we haven't talked about here, but then it would actually also become a little unnatural even to eliminate, let's say, G7 in terms of G3.
But on the other hand, if you just had G0, you would want to couple it to D brains in two different ways, or if you just had G2, right? I mean, you would couple G0 to an 8 brain like you were describing over here.
Yeah, suppose you G0, so here I'm describing how G10 couples to an 8 brain. You see that there is no G0, even though they are given by this formula, I couldn't write down that formula. That it's much easier to write it in terms of G10.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're doing the theory only in terms of G0, you would write this formula in terms of star of G0.
Right? Yeah. But then, right. That's right. So, yeah. But when we get to, in a moment we can get to the equations of motions, then it will be easier to use G0 all the time. But here it's actually, when we talk about the action, it's easier to talk about C9 and C10 because they couple naturally. Okay, so now this was a simple formula that actually only works when you have a single eight brain just like this. If there is a gauge field living on it, let's call the gauge field here. No, I guess. Let's forget about the bundles. Let's just say there is a gauge field F1 and a gauge field F2 on them. So now what's going to happen is that the gauge fields are also going to couple to other potentials. So the right formula is going to be a little different. It's going to be that you, firstly, we define a differential form C, which is the sum of all the formal sum of all these. And then the formula will be C wedge e to the minus I F over 2 pi. Oh, I, whatever, I mean. Okay. So this is an improved version of the one I wrote before, because if you expand, you see, if you expand, and so of course here you have this term, or this factor is a sum of differential forms of different degree, and this one is the same. So when you wedge them, you will get all kinds of things, but it's only the one which has dimension 9 that can integrate to something over the 8 grain world volume. So see, for instance, if you write this out, or maybe we forget the I, let's just say F is real or something like this. So then if we expand this out, we'll get the integral first of C9, which, sorry, I should write trace here. If there is more than one 8 brain, so that if it's a bun, if there are n 8 brains, then we know this is a UN, then this was a UN gauge field. So I have to take the trace to get a number. So you see, the first term is just one, trace of one, which is n. Integrated over the, so that's just n times C9. That was exact plus, and then we will get C7, which a two, then we have to find a two form from here. So that will be exactly trace of F over 2 pi. And then it continues like that. So, you see, this formula is the one that incorporates the fact that, so you see, usually C7 would not couple to 8 brains, that would couple to 6 brains usually. Suppose you had a 6 brain, then the equivalent of what I wrote before would be integral of C7 over the 6 brain world volume. So this is in some sense the formula that exactly tells us that if you turn on the field strengths, turn on the field strengths in an 8 brain, then you create 6 brains inside the 8 brain. I guess probably you must have heard about that some weeks ago too, and that's in some sense very essential for the whole this fact about D-brains taking values in K-series, the D-brain charges. That we use a lot that you create smaller brains inside bigger brains by turning on field strengths. So then we could continue this. And there is also another correction that I'm not going to talk much about here, we're just going to drop it, but it's a gravitational correction. Something about if this brain wraps, if there is curvature, if the metric on this brain has some curvature, and so that will also induce couplings to these fields. But let's just here stick to the gauge fields. That's what we focus on here. Yeah. No, that yeah. Then again on the pullback to the brain. So it would not matter what happened out here. Right, yeah. Okay. So now the equation of motion.
Simple explanation of why that why the gravity gives the square root of the amplitude.
No, I don't know of a simple. I mean, it would have to be. No, I don't know of a simple. Maybe someone else would know of a simple way to. I mean, you can say if you accept that gravity would couple, so you would expect that it's something that there should probably. It's too bad I can't give a simple. There should be a simple explanation. But you would expect that some characteristic classes of the curvature and so came in and created brains of smaller dimensions. So it would have to be some kind of topological invariant, like the Chern character here, I mean. But exactly why is the square root of that? I don't know. So. Yeah, good question, I should think of it.
Is there any reason why this is the coupling other than it creates a brain of smaller dimensions?
Right, exactly this form. Yeah, it's also. I mean, you can make many checks of this formula. For instance, there's this T duality I talked about before. That you. Yeah, T duality might be too much to come into, but you can make brains of one dimension. If you wrap them on circle, there are dual descriptions where they become. For instance, an 8 brain, if you wrap it on one of the directions along a circle. If you make what's called, then it's dual to T dual is called to actually to the other theory type 2B. On then it would be 7 brain. It would become a 7 brain. That would be probably a whole subject by itself. But and then we also know that the field strength would actually tell us then that the brain would the geometry of the brain part of the field strength would become what direction the brain is going in, whether it's going like this or going like this and so on. And we know how these things couple. So you could actually derive a formula like this from C-duality. But,
from the same formula in type 2B.
Yeah, so just from the simple formula that a brain, suppose, should I be more? Do you want me to be more explicit about this, or?
I mean,
what?
T-duality argument is really kind of roundabout. I mean, that's the simplest derivation I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if this has a particular structure where if you think about sort of 4 brains and 6 brains and 8 brains, you think about, you know, descending from T to T minus 2 down to T minus 4, it seems like it iterates in a nice way. I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of internal structure. There's probably some internal structure here.
You should also be able to I mean, it should also be possible to take the first. How you make? If you know how you make a 6 brain out of an 8 brain, you iterate that to make a 4 brain out of a 6 brain. So that would probably.
Yeah.
So we see the next term would then be C 5 wedge, 1/2 F wedge F over 4 pi squared.
Probably the unique thing that really.
So that's probably the unique thing that just iterates this one.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. And this one you also it yeah, but from T duality it's definitely so I don't know, maybe we can talk about T duality at some other point. Maybe you just believe this formula? Okay. Oh. Now suppose we have, we'll also write as the Chern character of this. Let me go back and call this bundle E1 and E2. So then, this was the Chern, this is called the Chern character of the bundle E1. And of course, then so the formula becomes over the 8 brains, C wedge, the Chern characters of the bundle of the 8 brains, and then minus, and then the anti-brains, it's just a minus because they are anti. C wedge, the Chern of the other bundles. And we can, all of this we could just make together in integrating over the world volume, of C, which the Chen character of E1 minus E2. Sorry, I mean, no, I should probably say Chen E1 minus Chen E2. And we also know that the K, these eight brains with bundles, eight and eight bar brains with bundles E1 and E2, they will be classified in type 2A. Okay, suppose we take them together. Then this defines a K-theory class X, which is E1, comma E2. So we know that's the usual thing. In K-theory classes, we make pairs of bundles. And that's from the physical point of view, that was always the brains and the anti-brains. So this first one, we can collect E1 and E2 in one K-theory class E1, comma E2. Suppose we do that. Then it's also natural to define that we can take a Chern character of an K-theory class to be Chern of E1 minus Chern of E2. It's of course important here that this definition is invariant under the... I mean, when we say this is equivalent to E1 plus H, comma E2 plus H, this formula would be invariant. So the K-theory class itself has a Chern character, and which is well defined. Okay, so the formula we end up with is that if there are bundles on these eight and eight bar brains, and we collect them all together now in a world volume V, then the coupling becomes C, which Chern of X, where X is the K-theory class defined from the bundles on these eight brains. Okay. So now let's write down the equations of motions from this. So if we... Yeah, okay. Actually, in a moment we are going to get... Yeah, the Ramon fields were K-theory classes. In a moment we are gonna get classes defined also out. So in some sense the Ramon fields is a K-theory class on the whole space. So what I'm doing now is looking at a particular example where we'll actually use some brains to create some... The brains will create Ramon fields. So in other words, the brain will create some K-theory elements. Okay.
In
the
direction?
Yeah. You'll see it from the equation of motion very shortly. So what did you say? Okay. And also, okay, so here let's collect all the... This is the sum over all the C's here. So now if we... derive the equation of motion, it will become something like GG. So here it could be all. So G is now the sum of all these. We define a similar one. GG will become Chern of X times a delta function in this direction. So the brains here were localized. Suppose we call this direction the x send direction. So then this will become Chern of X times, let's say all the brains were at x 10 equals to 0. Then we'll get, the equation of motion will become something like this. Okay?
If you write this equation, what are the variables you vary?
I vary this, let's see, I take the Euler-Lagrange equation from so I take this action and then I take find a stationary point with respect to varying it with respect to C.
You fix all the rest, the brain.
I fix this. This is fixed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then in this special case, so then if we take, so then there is going to be some among fields to the left of the brains and some here over to the right.
So in the whole theory, how is this K group element given?
So
I mean, why don't you vary that also? Why can't you think?
Which one? X?
Yeah, X.
It can vary too.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we are doing now is, what I'm doing now is just looking at an example where I have fixed the field on the brain, and then I'm trying to solve for what are the homomorphic fields in all of space time. And it's just a choice.
So
I'm looking at that
the
now.
The TR seems to be very special to having an 8 brain or
a
6 brain.
Right. So this was a very special case.
Yeah.
And we are going to derive a formula, but then we're going to assume that it will be valid in many, much more general cases.
I see.
Right. So,
in other words, in your theory, how do you know how to choose this X, this K group element?
X here on the brain?
Yeah.
No, this was just
the bundle of the K element.
Okay, here I'm just saying, let's look at a special case. In string theory, many things could happen.
Right.
Let's look at a case where there are some 8 and 8 bar brains here, and there are some bundles on them.
Yes,
and
no,
let it be given.
But even you look one step beyond that, how do you get this bundle or this cable element? How is that given in the entire theory?
How is it given?
Is it chain placement?
Yeah, oh, where the bundle comes from?
Right.
You remember that when you had brains, there were always bundles living on them.
But the bundle has to be given somehow.
Yeah.
Or where does that come from? Based on what data can you construct your bundle? Or the bundle itself?
It could be anything.
The bundle itself is a degree of freedom, it's a variable.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it is, now I'm just saying, suppose it is something.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like if I'm saying, suppose I have two pieces of chalk and see what happens.
That
sense. I mean, now it's just given to be something.
I understand that part, but eventually, how do you explain where does bundle come from?
Oh, I don't explain that. I just say, suppose it is like that. Exactly like, suppose I said, let this chalk fall to the ground. I don't explain where it came from. I'm just saying, let there be given this situation.
But in the string theory, it has to be built in a theory where the bundle is either a variable or it's given by some data.
But even if it's a variable, you can vary with respect to different variables. If you vary with respect to C, you're going to get this equation. Maybe there are some other equations which will tell you how to get the x's. I mean, maybe
Would be equations for the fields living here. That's true.
Yeah,
equations of motions that they have to obey.
This
isn't
complete, and this is just one.
Yeah, that's what I understand that. But I don't want to kind of have the rough idea what is the other equation motion which governs the bundle or the K group element.
Okay, so that would be like this would be such a gate theory, Young-Mills theory, with an action F squared, and maybe coupled to some. That could be, So basically, it would just be the Young-Mills equations.
But when you deal with a K group element, then you have to deal with a pair of bundles. Now, what is the action that you use? You take the
action. Oh, okay.
Your one bundle, your base action on the other bundle. Do you add them up, or is it subtracted?
No, it's more complicated, because remember. So this is simplified by the fact that we are only talking topologically now.
Yeah.
The equations of motions cannot change what the bundle is topologically. Suppose I specify that the first Chern class is something.
Right.
Then even if I'm not specifying exactly what the gauge field is. That will evolve, but it can never jump from one topological bundle to another.
So you want to specify the topology?
Yeah, I can specify the topology as, say, an initial condition. But I'm not specifying. So, for instance, these brains will definitely probably start moving and doing all kinds of things, and probably even annihilating each other, and lots of particles will come out. And so it's only to specify the total charge. Okay, so now suppose we integrate this one over the x10 direction. Then we will get basically g left minus g right.
Mm-hmm.
becomes equal to this turn x. It makes a jump basically. Basically, the Ramon-Ramon fields over here and the Ramon-Ramon fields over here are just related by a jump when they pass the eight brains. So this was the case where the Ramon-Ramon fields were differential forms. Yeah, this equation is for differential forms. Now let's see, what would we... But there should also be an equivalent formula for the... Over here, suppose now we think about G left over here, not as a differential form, but actually we know in type 2a, as we described last time, that Ramon-Ramon fields should take values in k of x. So suppose G left is now some element of k of x for the left side part of space. Okay? And suppose we have G right, which is a K-theory class of the right part. I mean, both the left and the right part in this case would be R10 or whatever. I mean, but maybe with some compact conditions out at infinity or something. And then we have bundles here that make up a K-theory class X on the eight brains. So then this formula is the differential. It definitely must be the differential form version of another formula, which says that G left as a K-theory class minus G right should be X. Okay. Now let's just take a... So now let's take a special case, for instance, where G right is zero. I mean, it should be possible that the Ramon-Ramon fields could be zero. Then this formula will tell us that if it's zero out here and then there are some brains with bundles on, then G on the other side will just be equal to X. So this was the case. This was a K-theory formula. This was a K-theory. And here we had.
You mean G is equal to X in the entire half space?
Yeah. So in some sense it becomes constant. Yeah. So in this derivation, G is not. The bundle is actually only non-trivial along these
directions, right?
So the relation is valid only on the grid.
Which relation? The this formula is telling us that at places where there is no brain, or this formula, sorry, before I integrate, is telling us at.
But without brain,
suppose
it is constant.
I mean, maybe I'm only doing a special case. Suppose G. It's only varying along these directions and then this d will show us that the derivative in this direction is zero away from the brains. Okay, so now we in this special case we had this case here. I mean, we assume this case theory formula, so nothing I do here is really a proof. It's more like making things plausible for how we should interpret certain things. And we had the differential geometry formula which we derived, and the equivalent of that would be GL as a differential form is turn of X. So now we are led to the conclusion, at least in the left part of space, that if the Ramon-Ramon field in the K-theory formulation is given by X, then the differential forms in the way we usually thought about it should be given by the churn character of X. Okay, so this was, in this case, just derived in the left part of space. But all these things should be, either one could probably decide that the left part of space is like a space itself, or that this formula must then probably be a true formula, that you should take this, to go from the K-theory formulation to the differential form, you should take the Chern character. So we now assume that true everywhere. So we make the following statement. So I probably shouldn't call it a proof after all this, but following suggestion. That if in type 2A, we have Ramon-Ramon fields given by X, which takes values in K of the manifold X, then we get to differential forms, then G by taking the Chern character of X. So that's what we got in this special case with the 8 brains, and so it seemed plausible. And so, also this is a formula that, I mean, in some sense, it's one of the only things you can do with such a case here is that, to get differential forms, right? Take the Chern characters, I mean, and they give elements in cohomology and so on. Okay. I probably forgot it, 2 pi. It doesn't matter. G over 2 pi. Okay. So now, let's take an example. Remember I told you earlier that these Ramon-Ramon fields, that they took values in the integral cohomology group, right? We'll actually see that this formula does not actually agree with that. I'll give you an example now which shows that that's not always the case. So this should not be taken exactly literally. In many cases, it is the case.
This is when you ignore that A roof genus.
Yeah, now I'm ignoring A roof genus. And then the right formula, if there's also a metric, then it would be something like this. Yeah. Yeah, I was taking a case where that was 1, or for forms where I don't have them higher up. Yeah, this is more precise. Okay. So maybe let me first talk a little. So let's talk about some integrality properties of these. So when we have a bundle, we have the Chern character, which is Chern of X. Let X be it could be a bundle or it could be a K-theory class. I mean, it doesn't matter. So then that's defined to be trace, not just a bundle. E to the F over 2 pi. Or if we want the sum over I, E to the XI, where XI are 2 forms. So in some sense, they are the... So think about, for instance, the case where F would be diagonal. Then it's just XIs are just the diagonal elements. I guess you probably know more about these things. But there are things like, these are like the roots of the Chern polynomial or so. Some sense of diagonalization. Or we can just say, suppose it was diagonal. And then there are also the Chern classes, where C1 is just the sum over these XI, and C2 is the sum over XI times XJ, where I is smaller than J, and so on. For instance, C3 is the sum over I smaller than J, smaller than K, XI, XJ, XK. What's special about these are that these are integral cohomology classes. So all these take values in integral cohomology. Of course, also the even cohomology. Whereas if we expand this one, we will not get that. So we can just do the expansion. I just did a few terms explicitly. I guess one can sit and go on. So the first term in Chern X is just the one from here, sum over I. So that will be the rank of the bundle. So that's N, Chern X. And then comes, of course, the first term just becomes the sum over the, when we expand, sum over the XI, which was the first Chern class. So we get the first term cloud. So that's nice. And then the second term, we will get, that we will get from all the 1 half xi squared, sum over I. And we can express that in terms of the square of C1 and C2. Okay, just some simple algebra. So that, when I did it, it became something like 1 half C1 squared minus C2. Maybe some people would use different sign conventions, I'm not sure, but at least something like these formulas would be true. And then plus, for instance, the 1 of degree 6 would be 1 half the third term plus minus 1 half C2 C1 plus 1 6 C1 cube. I mean, what's important to understand is that, for instance, the form of degree 4 here is not just the second term class. It's basically the second term class, but then with some corrections from the first term class square. And the same, the one of degree 6, is basically the third term class, but then with some corrections from the lower term classes. Also, we see especially that there are, these ones were integrals, but then these ones are not becoming integral. I mean, because of these numbers. So this term x is not, does not take value in integral cohomology. And also, if we included a root genus, it would even this be the case. There would be even more fractions coming in. So, so this square root?
Yeah,
actually I have to admit I don't know so much about, I mean this term should match with some anomalies. I mean you can, why there's a square root, so sorry, why do you say you don't like a square root?
Why is there no square root then? If not, it's the frame rather than the spin, then the index, when you integrate that, you never have, even though the coefficients are rational, you guys have the integer, you have to push the index, the rock off.
If you integrate what? Without a square root?
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's right that there is a square root. I mean, it's weird. Well, what is the integral, do you say? I mean, also without turn?
With?
For all bundles?
What is this manifold of the spin?
Okay. Okay. Okay, that's interesting.
Maybe it's something you incorporated when we see that.
Yeah, but these things are probably important. But yeah, I have to admit, I don't know much about it. Okay, so I just wanted to give a few examples here.
Also because of this square root, I guess this is no longer topology in Gans, right? If you don't have the square root, then it's a topology.
A root genus is.
Yeah,
A root itself is topological.
No, but the multiplication, if you take the A root genus, and that's a form here, it's not a number. Before you integrate, it's a form. When you integrate this, you get your number, which is A root genus. Here, you first multiply the two forms. Or maybe I didn't understand right. Didn't you mean, I mean, this square root means this is somehow square root of a form, is that,
no? Well, if you cut out power series, 1 yeah. plus yeah, so many yeah. things, then you could have the square root of a form.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the square root of the polynomial, yeah. that's form.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that is still, so even though you take the part, it's still topological numerical?
Yeah, these are still polynomial.
No, combination of functions.
Right. Even multiplied by the chain character.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, then, that's just 1 minute. Suppose this is a meter topological mirror, then I don't see why this has to do with gravity.
Oh, I just meant the metric. It has to do with the metric.
It doesn't have to do with the metric because.
No, oh, okay, but right. No, I agree. It's topological, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but physicists would just like. I mean nothing more than physicists would just say because you make the curvature, you could use the metric to construct the Pontryagin size.
Right.
I know that it is
independent.
Right. Okay. The same is true about the Schoen characters. So they're independent of the connection, right? It's just. But still, okay. I mean nothing else than for physicists we would take the metric and do some manipulation.
Okay.
It's a topological invariant. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe I should jump to. Okay. So there are some issues about that these are not always integral, but one could make some examples and so because of these factors and so. And then so one consequence is that this K theory formalism will explain to us exactly how Dirac quantization is. An improved version of Dirac quantization. Instead of just saying that they should all be integral, which could not even be true naively, as I showed you earlier, because this one of them and the dual could not be integral at the same time.
No, I don't see why this is a Pontryagin class. The X is a bundle. The A root theorem refers to a Cantor bundle. And these are two different bundles.
Yeah, but they are differential forms.
What do you mean by that Pontryagin class?
Pontryagin class is of the ambient manifold.
But
Pontryagin forms, the area of is defined in terms of Pontryagin forms.
But you multiply by the two character of X. X is an entirely different bundle. It has nothing to do with the tangent bundle.
Yeah, well, perhaps a Pontryagin class of the manifold state time together with the chain classes of the bundle.
Yeah. Of this bundle.
Yeah.
When you multiply them out,
they are
still topological.
And typically, we only classify topological tracks.
Okay, so maybe let me jump to the last one, just a simple example. Or not. Suppose, also especially to show that when we go to the torsion part, then there are, seriously, then there is really a difference. So when we go to torsion, then there is a difference between the K-theory formalism and this differential form formalism. Then, so for instance, the example here, suppose we consider RP7. Then the even cohomology of RP7 with integers is just like C plus C2 plus C2 plus C2, where this is dimension 0, 2, 4, and 6. Whereas the K of RP7 is C plus C8. So this is, of course, again, the rank of the bundle. So we see that this formula with taking the churn, this formula really only. So since we derived this formula, the one I had before, here, over here, we used the differential forms on the way and so on, maybe we should. We should only take it to be, it must be true, I mean, this relation must be true if we don't view torsion. In other words, I mean, not these C8 or C2s, but for the C's, we should trust this formula. But for the torsion, this derivation we did had, I mean, it didn't show anything about torsion. And also, this example shows that there is no real, I mean, the torsion parts, they need not even agree. So there is no way of. So in other words, whereas if we had the Ramon-Ramon fields topologically as an element here, we say, okay, so what are they in terms of the traditional language of even cohomology classes in type 2A? But we see for the torsion part, there is no mapping. We couldn't even try to make a mapping. obviously the rank here is going to map to the zero forms. That also follows from this form. I mean, that's just the n here. But this one is different. You see, there's actually no way even of... So, for instance, the generator of... the generator of this CA... can actually, if we call that x, that can actually be described by a line bundle, by a line bundle. So where L here is, so there are on RP7 there are two line bundles. There's a trivial one, so O here is a trivial. And then there is L. It's the only non-trivial line bundle. There is one non-trivial line bundle. So, and if we subtract the two, we make sure that we have no rank for this case group. And this is actually the generator of the CA. Suppose now we could try to say, so how do we map it to this? So we could try to take the churn classes or the churn character of this bundle. And then we would get that this one would have churn character here in dimension 2. And 0 in these, of course. But for instance, the element 4, so the first churn character of x is just the element 1 in H2 of RP7. So here the group is C2, so I'm just writing it as 0 and 1 in additive notation. So this is a non-trivial element and that's C2. So we might try to say, okay, if the Ramon-Ramon field is given by this element x, then that would correspond to in the old language of just saying, okay, the Ramon-Ramon field is this element, the non-trivial element in this part of the cohomology. But for instance, if we take the element 4x, 4x has churn, all the churn characters of this is actually a 0. One could see that from formulas, the formulas over there wrote that. So for instance, the element 4 in this C8 is an example of an element whose churn characters are all 0. So it would simply not even be detected in this cohomology group. So that's an example of something new, at least, I mean, from physicist's point of view, that the K-theory interpretation of Ramon-Ramon fields give us. But there is, for this element 4x, there is just no way of assigning traditional 2 forms or 4 forms or 6 forms. We could not even say, oh, it's the 4 form of type 2a that's doing something or something. It's really outside the language of these, of the usual Ramon-Ramon way of thinking of Ramon-Ramon fields. Which is, yeah. So another way of saying it, the K-theory elements, we get a topological classification of Ramon-Ramon fields, but we cannot assign it to whether, or is it the 4-form field that's turned on, or is it the 2-form field? So at least for, probably for mathematicians, I'm not saying something very deep, but for physicists, we were used to that we could classify what the Ramon-Ramon fields were doing from just looking at the differential forms. Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm going to finish here. So are there any questions?
What are possible mathematic problems? No, right now the conclusion seems to be have realized that the Ramon-Ramon charge or fields should be reformulated as
people.
Now, once that is done...
Oh, there should be not the physics problem. I mean, I don't think this is...
not the question.
At least I don't feel it. At least personally I don't feel like... There's a lot more to understand. I mean, all of string theory should... What about all the other fields? And what is the metric doing? That's one question, what is the metric doing? And so on. I mean, this is coming from some K-theory elements, and then probably also something over here. And I mean, just lots of questions. Okay, but from a mathematical point of view, you mean what?
In other words, is the established machinery of K-theory already enough for doing physics of
here? Well, I guess this is all pretty old stuff, right?
Yeah.
I again, don't haven't read the technical papers, but I don't hear a lot. I mean, I haven't heard a lot that goes beyond. Now, as of course, there are describes only a small piece of the physics of string theory, just the D brains, and there are run fields sort of not the whole larger structure.
You mentioned the electric, there should be some quantum theory.
I don't really understand, but the thing I thought against it in Mclovian was the fact that you get new physics from the non-unitivity of the coordinates of the D brains. And now maybe I don't know what the subject called non-unitivity theory is. But is that a live subject, or is that also?
I don't know.
But you can, of course, find changes enough to your brain, and
that's an active
area of research. And actually, the area interests me. But
That sounds very algebraic. I mean, right?
But it's very algebraic. I mean, you have to have a projective muscle. You don't have vector muscle.
What physicists are doing is not his geometry is again almost more geometric. It really is just having spaces divided into four. You know, commutator of x with y is I.
Mm-hmm.
And I use functions on that space. And it's not very deep algebraic.
Right, but that might lead to a more generalized to this thing.
You were writing down yesterday, I mean, they creep up all the time. Same sort of thing.
But yeah, when you, in your lecture here at Kickers, I mean, when you mentioned the quantum theory, what did you mean by that?
Well, I forget. I forget what it's referring to specifically. It was kind of an off-the-cuff remark, but there are just several areas. Okay, so one of them, again, is the things that enter when the brain world volume or the space-time itself are non-commutative, most often the brain volume. The second set of things is there are objects in string theory other than the Z-brains. And in many contexts, sort of the Z-brains are classical and the other objects are more sort of have more correspondence descriptions.
You see, in mathematics, there's this quantum cohomology, which is a correction of ordinary cohomology in terms of rational or in general holomorphic curves. So
is this a thing that goes with mirror symmetry?
Motivated by that.
There's also a quantum group, which is a different thing.
That's entirely different.
Right.
So since case theory is a generalization of the cohomology, so maybe there are some version of the quantum cohomology along that direction. But I just don't see
That's an interesting question right there. And
whether there's any physics motivation for that thinking.
Well, that's right away. I mean, this question of putting D brains on non-trivial geometries as opposed to flat space is a pretty complicated and rich one. I mean, it's something that physicists, pretty much not people here, unfortunately, are quote, and that's where you would expect to see this kind of thing, because then you have the two ingredients. You have, on the one hand, geometry, which you know gets stringy modifications. On the other hand, you have the D brains, which bring in the vector bundles and also the scope. People do that. Mike Douglas, Brian Green, not so much anymore. He turned into a public figure. Shomeritz, Refsnagel.
Who worked on work? Clavier? I don't know if Pat did a little.
There's a seminar by Emil Martinick on Tuesday who mentioned some of these issues.
No, the quantum cohomology, that happens because I guess in correlation function, somehow you have to count holomorphic curves. Now, once you have a broad brain into your theory, when you again try to compute all these functions, would that somehow lead to?
From a mathematical point of view, I don't point of view, what is quantum cohomology? I mean, cohomology is, okay, we don't know what it is. How do you deform it?
Well, when you define this correlation function on generators, so now when you define this correlation function, so you bring in you call the moduli space of a holomorphic curve, you have to integrate over that moduli space. In classic cohomology, you have the cycle and you just integrate over the cycle. But now you have also to bring in the holomorphic, the moduli space for the curves. Yeah, so the correlation function is correct.
Yes, yes, I see.
There was a spherical function in the topological sigma model.
So somehow maybe there's some quantum correction of the kit here, but it's not obvious how it is.
Right, yes. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'll try to read more of these papers in the future. I don't know. Some of these people will be passing through next spring of 2001. We have a M theory workshop here. And maybe that's all ways in the future we can try to get some of them, but we should try to get some of them to speak. Again, Mike Clemens is the obvious name, but there are lots of others.
Is there a talk next week?
Yeah, what should we do next week?
We're out of... We told you everything we did.
I guess we could continue with turn character of one break. I mean, turn character of tone lysing.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, type one? Yeah, but okay. But there wouldn't be much new physics in it. Yeah, there would be similar formulas, but AO instead. Oh, yeah, you're just.
Okay, so see you, we'll talk next week.
Okay. Great.